Morning.
Morning.
So let's just start with checking the mic.
Are we going to?
I'm okay, I'm not going to crackle. Brilliant. Okay, let's just start with, I'll just start with a prayer before I talk. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and grace. Thank you for the work you've entrusted me to do through my career. And thank you for the time to prepare what I have to say this morning. And I ask that my thoughts and comments inspire your people and glorify your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. I hope I can live up to the crescendo that Tudor has been talking about over the last month, about how I'll bring all the talks together this morning. So I hope you've enjoyed this series of talks on science and faith. I certainly have. Back in the introduction that we did in January, I asked who actually enjoys science, and there was really kind of a lot of people, I think, interested in science. But again, a lot of people find science hard or complex, and it's usually great teachers who help people understand what that's all about. If you thought it was going to be easy after 4 weeks and listening to the various talks, you've probably been a bit disappointed, because it's probably still just as hard now as it was at the beginning of the month. So I'm going to talk this morning a bit about me, because though I've been coming to All Saints for 15 years now, you probably still don't know what I do in terms of my job. So I'm going to talk a bit about my role and what I do. Then I'm going to provide some personal thoughts and then bring together the summary of the previous speakers. Okay. So, my background. So firstly, in science, thank you. So I did my undergraduate in molecular biophysics, which was a four-year course at Leeds University. Then I did a PhD in pharmacology, and that was at the University of Bath. And that was working on white blood cells and looking to see actually how, if we can, stop them triggering asthma reactions. And then for the last 20 years, not in that particular role, but currently I'm an associate director at the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council. And it's quite a long list there of things to do, because what I've found out since I joined the senior management team is you get loads of stuff just thrown at you, and I don't really have a job description. But the key thing that I do is I build up our relationships with universities, and I write our science strategy for the organisation. In terms of faith, so I was baptised on Easter Sunday, on the 14th of April, 1968. Confirmed in November 79 at a church in Bletchingley. But I guess it was probably, even though I kind of went to church as a child and I understood the stories and the narrative, I think, of the Bible, I think it was my first personal commitment to faith was made in May 1986. When I went to a Pentecostal service at Southwark Cathedral, where Terry Waite was talking at the time, and that was just before, about 6 months before, he was kidnapped and spent his many years being held hostage. And as I say, I've been a member of All Saints since January 2004, and my own children were baptised. No, I don't want to say anything else about that. So, I think the first thing to say, you don't have to go back, but what should be obvious from there is actually I was a Christian before I was a scientist. So I actually believed in God before I was always interested in science and enjoyed it at school, but just to make it clear, it was that kind of way round. So this is the organisation I work for, and Tudor did ask me to talk a bit about what I do, just to try and put it into context. So EPSRC invests about £800 million a year in research and training. So that's a significant budget that we have, And our clear, our vision is really to be the best place in the world to do research and discovery and innovation. So we do that in two ways. We support science for discovery, and that's really kind of creative research and encouraging people just to find out how things work and improve things. And secondly, more importantly now, we're funded by the taxpayer, so we need to make sure that those research findings actually help us as a society by being a wealthier nation and also by creating better worlds for us to live in. We do that through three different ways, and so our strategies are probably quite formal for the general lay person. But balancing capabilities, saying how much research do we fund in energy versus how much research we fund in quantum physics, for example. So we have to make decisions about how to balance our funding. Secondly, we build leadership. So science takes quite many years. As that light demonstration tried to give, it can take many years for research findings to come into our lives. And so we have to support really good and talented people to help that process over the course of many years. And so we train students or postgraduate students all the way to funding professors. And accelerating impact, well, many scientists who I respect and have good conversations with love science, and they'll just carry on doing science, and they need a little nudge now again to say, well, actually, how's this going to be important for society? And we try to encourage people to do that. So if you go on to the next slide, so our current delivery plan is about projecting our science delivers a successful nation. So if you invest in science, you'll get a more productive nation, and so that creates wealth. We have lots of movement in terms of the digital world that we live in, so a lot of what we support is about connecting things up. Thirdly, we need to be resilient. There is more and more people living on this planet. They need more and more energy, more food, more health, and so being more resilient is an important aspect of what we do. And with all that money and resilience, we also want to help people live longer, have better quality lives, and so we support science that delivers a healthy nation. So those simple messages about what we do is really important to encourage government to carry on investing in us. And it's been quite a successful message, I think, because whilst we have a budget of 800 million, they keep giving us extra money to support additional activities. And so far, since 2016, we've secured about another £250 million of funding to do further special activities in this spirit. So if you think about science, I don't want to overgeneralise, but most people will probably think about science in terms of better medicines. I think that's how they might kind of recognise that science has benefited them. Some people, I think, are really interested in the cosmos because they look out at night, they see the stars and the moon. Or they might get their science from science fiction on TV, from Star Trek, from Doctor Who. But the kind of science, now you won't be able to read this slide, but the kind of science that we support are over 111 different areas of science that we support. So our portfolio is made up of many, many different things. And we fund from pure mathematical sciences through better materials. We fund quantum physics. We fund chemistry all the way through to mechanical engineering, data systems, artificial intelligence. So we span a huge space in the scientific environment. So whilst we get £800 million a year, actually if you add it all up and you think about all the current grants and the people that support, that's around £4.6 billion that we've got supporting at any one time. And £3.2 billion of that research is relevant to the industry. So we have a strong alignment of the research that we support to business. And I know there are some people in the audience doing sound who help us in those collaborations. We need to show government that we're worth funding. We take your money from taxpayers, so why is that important? Well, every now and then there is an assessment exercise where we look at the quality of research around the UK. And when we last looked at the evidence, we could demonstrate that from a number of years that we invested £7.8 billion of funding from the taxpayer, we delivered £80 billion worth of economic benefit to the country. So about for every £1 that we invest in terms from the taxpayer, we get about £10 back, and that's pretty good return on investment. We collaborate with lots of organisations. We have 3,800 people collaborating on our different grants, and we've leveraged quite a lot of money from business in the portfolio. So that's the kind of thing that I do. And the privilege of my job actually is I don't get a lot of steerage of what I do. I get to do all the fun stuff, and as long as I kind of make a difference, my boss seems to be quite happy with that. But we've got a big change, and this is just on a couple of examples. Perhaps I'll skip over that. We've got a big change coming up. So from the 1st of April, the government is merging all the different research councils with Innovate UK and Research England into a new organisation called UK Research and Innovation. So that's bringing together lots of different organisations, and so we'll have an annual budget now of £6 billion a year funding science innovation. So we're quite busy at the moment preparing for that change, but so I shall be working for a different organisation from the 1st of April. But it'll be the same organisation, it'll be the same people and the same... Tricia?
Are most of those based in Swindon?
Yes, so all the research councils are based in Swindon. Innovate UK is based in Swindon, but Research England is based in Bristol. And we'll also have a London office as well. So the Medical Research Council is partly based in Swindon, partly based in London. And to give a sense of the scale of that, so it's a really good question, Tricia. So EPSRC currently employs about 167 people delivering that budget. The new organisation will employ 7,000 people when you bring all the different constituent parts together. So it's quite a big change. Okay. So let's do an experiment. So I should think about science and school. So what's a good experiment have about? And what are we taught? Well, if we just click through the next few things. So we should have an aim. We should have some materials. We should have a methodology, we should have some results and observations, and then let's have a conclusion. So let's do an experiment. I think I've got here a good example of the kinds of experiment you think might go on with test tubes and bottles and steam and things, but I've got none of that here this morning. So my aim this morning really is just to ask this question: can working with an interest in science and believing in God be compatible? Yes. So, absolutely. Well, tick. Anyway, so you might remember this rebus that we did from the first week. Can you remember who this person was?
Isaac Newton.
Isaac Newton. So if you go, just click forward, Andy. So on Wednesday this week, I was at the Isaac Newton Institute of Mathematical Sciences at Cambridge. And this is hanging on the wall. It's an immaculate copy, it's not the original, of Sir Isaac Newton. And it's proudly hanging in the lecture theatre of the Isaac Newton Institute. So let's have some materials. Okay, so the first thing we need is me. If I'm going to do this experiment, I need to understand who that is. Next, we'll have a Bible and the Word of God. Thirdly, we'll ask some questions and actually think about that. And lastly, on the next slide, I think you've got to live life. And this is my workplace. This is where the Research Council is based next to the station. So I think, so in terms of my hypothesis, I'm going to use those four elements. So working and living is really important, because I don't think God wants us to live in a cocoon and just study the Bible and be theological. I think he wants us to live life and share that good news. So the first method is reading the Bible, and the reason I chose, actually I found it more daunting choosing the readings than actually speaking this morning. But so the first that the Gospel reading about Luke is just really representing that actually Luke meticulously wrote down his observations, and I think captured in that narrative that Tudor read out just strikes me. It's really important to recognise that people have observed, experienced, and then written down the Word of God, and it is truth. But it's a big book, and I can't remember it all. And so daily study is really important. I have my Bible app. I have some Bible notes as well. So secondly, I'll kind of frame this as fellowship. So these are the key places that I've worshipped over my Christian life. So that's the church where I got baptised, in South Boston in Surrey. The second church there is Headingley Methodist Church, where I was a student. Here is Leabrook Methodist Church, where I got married to my lovely wife. This is Winsley Methodist Church, where we first lived, we were married, and finally we have All Saints Church here. And I think it's just really important to recognise that, talking to others is just an extremely important thing to do.